are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me today, you know who it is. You already know. It's Mr. Mike Giletto Sr. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well today. Much better than I've been all week, but very good today. Ready to go. Hello to everyone out there. And just if you hear a little bit of reverberation in my voice, we're still not quite all the way back from being sick, but I'm fighting a good fight, and I'm going to gut it out like a true hockey player.
Yeah, let's be honest. You're not going to talk any less. So as we get into today's show.
I never said that.
As we get into today's show, you can find us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. Mike Sr. is at Mike from S Jersey. Don't forget to follow producer Mike at Mike _ Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Sports Talk Philly, Spotify. We're everywhere. And you can do that just by searching You Would Think. And we pop right up. And don't forget to leave us some iTunes reviews. I know we talked about that a little bit last week. And, you know, iTunes reviews do a body good. So hook us up and we'll get into it. Let's just dive right in. Flyers had a great week. The last couple shows, we've come on and kind of been doom and gloom or a couple bad games or this, that, or the other thing. And we come in today, I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm flying high.
It was a terrific week. When you could go 3-1, talk about the one game that they lost and even be positive to some extent in that game. And I know Vigneault wasn't totally positive. I didn't think the effort was as bad as he did. I think they got priced.
Yeah, but
that's
what you want, though. You want Alain Vigneault to be pushing this team for better and demanding more.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I did think there was a little bit of emotion lag.
That was 100% a letdown game. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, but the shots on goal was still 40-41.
No, absolutely.
They didn't get manhandled. They didn't get pushed around. Their goalie save percentage was 960. Ours was not 960, and we lost.
Right, but the thing is, that game was always going to be a little bit of a letdown because you're looking at the schedule, right? And when the Flyers played Washington on January 8th, the Washington Capitals were the best team in the league. They had the best points percentage. And the Flyers beat them.
Saturday, they played terrifically.
Yes, absolutely.
They played a great game all the way around. Goaltender, defense, forwards, everyone.
Everybody. Saturday, January 11th, you play the Tampa Bay Lightning, who at the time were the hottest team in the league. I think they had won 7 or 8 straight, and they've been absolutely on fire. They're back on the President's Trophy tear. And you lose to them 1-0, but you play a really good, tight 60 minutes.
They played a terrific game.
Fast forward to Monday. You're playing Boston. Now, Boston, on Monday night, was also the best team in the league by the time we played them. So we played Washington with the best point, with the best record in the league, and then Tampa with the hottest record. And then Boston
Their win against the Flyers was their 10th straight.
Yep.
Correct.
And then you played Boston, and they were the best team in the league when we played them, and the Flyers won that game.
Having trailed 5-2.
5-2. We're going to get into that game. That game was insane. Right. Wednesday night, you play St. Louis. Now, guess what? St. Louis had the best record in the league when we played them.
Yep.
It is absolutely unreal. The Flyers played the best team in the league 3 out of 4 games. The top of the standings are so tight that they all kind of jostled around, and the Flyers ended up playing the number one team in the league 3 times in 7 nights. And then they won all 3 games.
And really outplayed St. Louis.
Absolutely. They were up 3-1 in that game.
St. Louis was lucky to get to overtime.
Absolutely. The Flyers were running away with that game, and then a little bit of questionable officiating in the third period. But
I'll go a little stronger, very questionable officiating.
Yeah. And then you get a little
hometown cooking in that.
Sure. So you get back home. You just played Montreal the night before. You beat them in overtime. You've beaten a whole bunch of really good teams over the last week. And then you're playing Montreal. You're kind of expected to fall a little flat.
I understand, human nature.
The Flyers did play a phenomenal game. And Carey Price should have been the first star of that game. I don't know if he was or not, but he absolutely stole the show.
I'm almost positive he was. Yeah, look, he had 39 saves.
He has to be.
They got Carey Price. Do I say they completely outplayed the Canadiens? No, the Canadiens probably
territorially
were 55-60% of that territorial edge, but they didn't dominate us. The score 4-1 was not indicative of how the game was played.
It should have probably
been a 2-1 loss, something like that, or 4-2 loss if Carey lets another one by.
But you know,
they should have lost the game. I'm not saying they should have won.
But
they didn't play poorly.
Right, and what I like to see out of this team is that they bounced back very, very, very strongly Saturday night against the LA Kings.
Correct. A very bad LA Kings team, but yes. A team they just lost to, and they didn't do the, you know, we're not playing a good team, so we're going to be flat again. They came out right out of the gate.
Exactly.
Scored in the first 4 minutes.
They played that game exactly how you want them to play that game. They came down, they put their foot on the LA Kings' neck, and just kind of stayed there the whole game. They kept the pressure up. They kept pushing forward. They kept it even up 2 or 3 goals. They were still kind of pushing. They were still really looking to salt the game away until there were 2 minutes left. They played hard until there were 2 minutes left.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is true. Was this the first time that he had Konechny with Giroux and Van Riemsdyk?
I'm not really sure.
I don't recall them three playing together before.
I'm not sure if they had ever...
Maybe in a spot here and there, but right, as a regular for the whole game.
Right. I'm not sure if they had ever played a...
They looked great together.
If they had ever started together. I think they had been together for a shift or two, and obviously they're all kind of around the power play.
And Vavry's like been coming along. His statistics have been increasing.
I did
want to
talk
He's
about
been
James
playing
Van
better.
Riemsdyk.
He was terrific last night.
He was everywhere.
Goal, 2 assists. Giroux was really, really good. And that line as a whole was fantastic. And here's the best part. Neither of the three were their best forward last night.
No, absolutely not.
Jake Voracek might have played his best game as a Flyer last night.
Travis Konechny might have
been
their
best forward. And Van Riemsdyk had a goal and 2 assists. Just the way he played the game. Voracek, if he plays like that every night, is a perennial NHL All-Star.
Sorry, I do want to confirm that I'm talking to the actual Mike Gilletto Sr. here.
Yes.
Are you complimenting Jake Voracek right now?
Jacob Voracek last night was fantastic.
You know what? I'll go one step further. He's been really good all week.
Terrific all week.
We talk about him pretty much every week, for better or for worse. Yep. This might be his best week in a very long time. I don't remember a single one of your favorite, you know, the turnover at the blue line that leads to a 2-on-1. I don't remember a single one of those this week.
It's a great Jacob Voracek week, so I won't point those out to you.
I'm sure they exist.
Nothing glaring, nothing that couldn't just be the ebb and flow of the game that all players sometimes make. So in its proportion, it was in proportion with all other very good and great players. But to say zero, no, wasn't quite that. But not enough to point out, that's for sure. He was fantastic.
And, you know, you briefly touched on it there, but the lines were different last night. And one of the things I want to talk about is Scott Laughton and Kevin Hayes playing together.
Yeah.
My goodness, that is... So they're not necessarily going to, you know, do fancy moves and outrun you down the ice, and they're not exactly going to thrill you offensively, but try taking the puck off of those guys. Either one of them. Scott Laughton and Kevin Hayes are both absolute bulldogs on the puck, and now they're playing together. Look out.
And different type of bulldogs, which I think complements each other very
absolutely.
Well. Hayes has that physical, you really can't
he's
take the puck
size.
From me. And Laughton has that skating, he's not slow. He's not speed merchant, but he's not slow by any stretch.
No,
he's got a dart in, dart out. And I think that complements and an anticipation that complements Hayes' game very well.
Yeah, and it's incredible because you put those two on the ice, and then, you know, sometimes if Jake Voracek's out there with them, you have Kevin Hayes, who you can't bulldoze the puck off of, Jake Voracek, who you can't bulldoze the puck off of, and Scott Laughton, who will bulldoze the puck off of you.
Correct. And with those two guys, it's really the only two guys, at least on this team, that I could think of Laughton playing with that he can actually be productive in a top six role.
Because he's not babysitting.
Correct.
Scott Laughton is a fantastic babysitter. You put him with Nick Obey-Kubel and Connor Bunneman, and they'll be fine. Maybe not great, but they'll be fine. They're not going to do anything embarrassing. But what you see out of this is what Scott Laughton can be, what Scott Laughton was drafted in the first round for.
Yeah. Yes. He's had a few down moments this year here and there, but like every player does.
Yeah, but
his season as a whole has been very, very good.
Yes. And he has settled into his role fantastically.
Yeah, we touched on that maybe a month or two ago.
Yeah.
About how he's finding his role and how he's going to be a very successful NHL player. Maybe not the, you know, number one draft.
He's not a superstar.
You know, right. Like anytime you draft somebody in the first round, you're hoping they become a superstar.
Of course.
Very few do. But if you get every first round pick to be a productive NHL player, you're going to have a good team.
Exactly.
This guy's definitely become a productive NHL player. And honestly, I never thought he would.
Right. And he has settled perfectly into that situation. And I've said it before. If Scott Laughton is your third line center, you are totally cool with that.
You're good. If he's your fourth line center, you can win the Stanley Cup.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. If he's your third line center, you're fine with it. You're cool.
You can be very good.
And he can even spot play up the lineup sometimes if you're mixing things up or giving a guy a night off. But if he is your every night fourth line center, your team is really good.
You should be competing for the cup.
Scott Laughton is the kind of fourth line center.
Yep.
That fourth line centers teams that win the cup.
And they have other fourth liners.
Exactly.
That if you have the other guys where they like Pitlick, that again, you can with that Pitlick, Laughton, Farabee, you can win the Stanley Cup, but that is your fourth line.
Yeah, we've talked a lot with Kevin about the quote optimal lineup. And I think the optimal lineup is Scott Laughton centering Pitlick and Raffle. That's your ideal fourth line.
That's absolutely. Farabee's coming on too.
Yeah.
Banged home two games in a row, banged one home. So hopefully he's getting some confidence going and we'll see more out of him.
Yeah. See, and I don't want Joel Farabee to spend that much time in the bottom six because I don't want that to be where he settles and ends up. I want him to end up as a top six forward. I want him to be.
Yeah. Well, he's so young that, it's nothing he does this year is going to define his career.
By the way, and I do want to mention real quick, he was sent down this week, but that was just a paper transaction. Carter Hart got hurt. He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, which obviously isn't ideal.
But timing wise, if it had to happen, it couldn't have been better. Correct.
He's going to miss something in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 games.
Right. Which in 3 weeks is a very few games.
Yes. Get a whole bunch of All-Star break time to recover and rest and be good to go. And you absolutely don't rush him back a second early, by the way.
No.
But then as soon as he's ready, this gives him a little time to get ready, to get fresh, and to come down the stretch like an animal.
Yep, absolutely.
And if I know anything about Carter Hart, he is focused, and he is ready, and he's going to use this time and come back better than ever.
The one thing I think we could say about Hart in the year, or year maybe a little bit plus, that he's been around, is whatever you get from him is physical. It's not mental. Mentally, he is there all the time.
He is the most sound 21-year-old goalie.
He can let things go. They don't bother him.
Tough losses roll right off his back.
Yeah, they motivate him. He really is kind of like that cornerback who gives up a touchdown. The very next play, you got to be attacking the ball. You can't let the play before. And he's got that mentality as a goalie. The shot before didn't matter. The only shot that matters is the one that's coming at me.
The next save. Yep.
Yep.
And he doesn't go the other way either. He's not too cocky. He's not too confident. He's not.
And that's not to say he's never going to struggle again. I'm just saying.
Of course.
That those struggles aren't in his head.
Yep. And you know
whatever
what?
Whatever struggles he will have will be physical.
Your son, our producer, Mr. Mike Gilletto, came out in a conversation and said that he doesn't think Hart's the answer. Now, he'll claim that he was talking about right now. But in his frustration, I believe he was talking about ever. And Mike,
This was fresh off the road trip, right?
Yeah. If you're listening to this on the edit, Mike, you're dumb. Carter Hart is really good. Just because he struggled for a small amount of time at 21 years old doesn't mean he's not the answer. Most goalies don't even step on to the ice for their team until they're 23, 24, 25. Carter Hart is 21. He is worlds ahead of most goalies his age.
To draw the conclusion at this point in time or fresh off that road trip where he did really struggle to say he's not the answer is just as wrong to say
that he is the answer.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. They're both equally disproportionately wrong.
Exactly.
But he's done plenty. He's done quite enough to say, this really looks like our guy. It really looks like we have something. And I can't wait to watch the 25, 26, 27-year-old Carter Hart.
Absolutely. I can't wait for the next 15 years. Of watching this guy play goalie because we've talked about it. Nothing rattles him.
Right.
Nothing shakes him. They could be down 7-0 and on a 5-on-3, and he's still going to go post to post and try to make a save.
And as good as the team has been this year, and as much as they are much better this year.
Yeah.
That's still not to suggest that he doesn't face, or and Elliott as well, still not face some disproportionately quality shots.
No, of course. This team is good.
As the team gets better and the defense gets better, his percentage is going to go higher and higher because the quality of shot he's going to face is going to go down because the team is getting better.
That's the plan, assuming the team gets better.
And speaking of quality defense, I'm going to say something to you that's probably going to make you fall off your chair.
Oh, no.
Boy, it was good to have Braun back last night.
You know what? Mike and I talked about it. Mike Jr. and I talked about it. We didn't know how much we missed him till he was gone.
And as long as you keep him away from Ghost...
Yep.
I don't have a problem with him being with the right guy, my fifth or sixth defenseman.
He was solid last
night. Yeah, he was really solid last night. I turned around and said to Mike, as we were watching the game, I'm going, Mike, Braun's a beast like tonight. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm glad to have him back.
And now, I'm willing to temper a little bit of expectations there because you were playing the Kings.
Yeah, no, just
but at the same time,
I noticed he was back.
Him and I had a conversation, Mike and I did, Mike Jr. and I. And we talked about Braun, and we talked about the fact that coming into the season, I was worried that we had Andrew McDonald 2.0. We had a guy who was a little bit past his prime, on a not great contract, making a little too much money, and that we were going to put him too high in the lineup and expect too much out of him, and he was going to fall short and be terrible, like Andrew McDonald was.
Okay. I admittedly knew nothing about him. Zero. Right.
That's where I was at coming into this season. That's what I was worried about. So he comes in, and Alain Vigneault immediately kind of slots him where he needs to be. He's in that second pair, third pair, not getting a ton of ice time. And he looks solid. And there's nothing wrong with that. He is,
are we talking preseason or after
I'm
the
just
season
talking,
started?
No, since he's
or the whole
just,
season.
His whole body of work is a Philadelphia Flyer.
Okay,
he has been
because his first start, his first 10 games.
No,
maybe
he started a little
shit. Five or six games. He was a minus 10 after like six games.
But you know,
and
I
thought this was the biggest mistake in the world.
You know, we also had a conversation.
I jumped the gun. Jumped the gun.
And well, you and I also had a conversation mid-November on this show where we talked about this team just being bad. And I talked about learning the system. So Justin Braun's got to learn the system just like everybody else does.
And he also had to get away from Ghost.
Of course. But either way, he's been fine. Not spectacular. Yep. Not terrible. You don't really notice him, and that's fine.
If he hasn't been a problem, he's a plus.
Exactly. In my mind.
And he hasn't been a problem.
In my mind, he is the perfect league average defender. He's not good. He's not bad. He's average. He's there.
Yep.
He's fine. He'll screw up sometimes. He'll get walked by really good players.
Yeah.
But that's all you expect.
As everybody with his ability will. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. We just saw Morgan Riley get walked by Connor McDavid last week in an absolute beauty. It's fine.
He's going to do that to some very good defensemen, too.
Yeah, Ivan Provorov has gotten walked once or twice. It happens.
Yep.
But he's fine. He's not embarrassing to have on the ice.
No, last night he was actually physical, which was nice to see.
And again, you know, you're talking about the Kings, so there is a little bit of grain of salt there. But yeah,
who you're playing doesn't really affect the physical element that you bring to the game.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But
unless you're talking like, you know, you're just afraid to hit Tom Wilson or something like that.
Right. But either way, it was definitely nice to have him back in the lineup, and nobody was disappointed in my mind. Correlating move, Mark Friedman got sent down. You know, he lost his spot in the lineup when Braun came back. And
he
was okay.
He did a fine job.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed by him. But at the same time, he was an AHL call-up that was here for about 2 weeks. So I don't necessarily know if I was supposed to be impressed by him.
Right.
He was fine. The Flyers are a little injury-riddled right now. You know, Ghost is out. You know, we got Braun back. Obviously, we're still talking about Lindblom and Patrick. But overall, you know, you need a little depth from the minors, and Mark Friedman was fine.
Yeah, he didn't embarrass himself, that's for sure.
No, and, you know, it's the kind of depth that if you're going to make any sort of run, that's going to happen. You know, you're going to lose Ghost, you're going to lose Braun, you're going to lose
Andrew's
guys throughout your lineup.
Yep.
And we've seen that throughout the league, and one of the big injuries in the league, you know, we did talk about Sidney Crosby just came back.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
talking about big injuries throughout the league.
That's a scary proposition right now.
And he's back, and he looks like he's trying to make up for lost time.
Yep.
He has been absolutely stellar. And then the Flyers see him on Tuesday. And he has been hot since coming back.
Yes. Yes, very much. He's only played 20 games this year or somewhere in that realm.
Yeah, but I think his first game back, he had 4 points. His second game back, he scored a goal. His third game back, he had the overtime winner. It turns out he's good at hockey, and he is back and on a vengeance and on a tear. And they come into Philadelphia Tuesday night.
And that's like, you know, it's sort of similar to, I'm trying to draw an analogy and I can't, but it's any very, very good team that loses its best player.
Something from the 70s.
For a month. And they go, you know, 12-2 and then get that great player back. That's what's going on in Pittsburgh.
They had an unreal record when Crosby was out.
Yeah, they won, what, 18 out of 20 something?
Something along the lines of they were 18-5. Like it was.
Yeah, that's.
I think they were they're 18-5-1 without him this season, but I might be off on that.
And now you're adding him to that, so they're 30-13 over on the season, and have really figured it out as far as bringing it every night, and the backup goalie, is it Jarry? Is that his name?
Tristan Jarry.
He's played as many games as Murray, and his statistics are better. He's close actually to stealing that job.
Yeah, and then they still have Casey DeSmith. Or no, maybe they lost him on wait. I don't know. Either way, they're rolling, and they've gotten up to second in the division.
Yeah, they're a second seed. Yeah, I noticed that.
Now, they're a solid 6 points behind Washington, and that's a long way to come.
They have two games in hand.
It's one now.
Is it one? Okay.
Yeah.
I think they have a legitimate shot to catch Washington if Washington falters a little bit.
If Washington pulls a Boston... Because I don't know if we've talked about it on this show, but Boston's been, like, pretty terrible over the last 3 weeks or so. If Washington does one of that, yeah, Pittsburgh can definitely catch them. As it sits, I don't necessarily know.
I'm not talking a 2-8 run. Even if they have, like, a 4-4 run or a 5-5 run, I think Pittsburgh's got a shot to catch them.
Just real quick, since you mentioned Washington, I do want to touch on Ovi, by the way. At the time of recording Sunday morning, he has hat tricks in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
This week, he also cracked the top 10 of all time in goal scoring.
He passed somebody on the list.
He passed Mario and tied Yzerman.
Yeah.
Is that good?
That's pretty good. Here's a nobody ever makes this list. Your favorite or most like, not favorite, your most liked players on teams that you absolutely hate. You're like the Rangers and the Cowboys and your villain teams.
Right.
He might be the player I liked most on a villain team.
Okay.
Strange list. I really like Ovi.
It's a tough one for me to pick up right now just because he's still playing.
Oh, I want to beat his brains in every time we play him, and I want him to, not score a goal every time we play them, and I want to send him home crying, hopefully.
But he's one of those players, the second he retires, my hate level on him drops to zero.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about the hate-respect levels. The second he retires, hate drops to zero, respect goes from 99 to 100. Yeah. Like, he hangs it up.
So much fun to watch. He just has a ton of fun. Like, Crosby and I do now totally respect. I still hate his guts. I don't hate... I actually like Ovi.
Yeah, I was rooting for him to win a couple years ago. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
absolutely. So was I. I really wanted him. And nobody enjoyed it more. Nobody.
No. Nobody had more fun. I don't know if anybody's ever enjoyed anything more than Ovi enjoyed that cup. My goodness. And they won it in Vegas? Oh, boy. But I think Ovi took a look at the scoring race and went, hold on a second. Sitting at the top here, we had Pastrnak at 30. Pastrnak is currently sitting at 36 goals, which is unbelievable. Auston Matthews has 34. He's, very quietly catching up to David Pastrnak. Alexander Ovechkin, with 6 goals in his last 2 games, is now tied with Auston Matthews for second in the league, only 2 goals behind Pastrnak. So now, this race that looked like it was over 3 weeks ago, David Pastrnak is 6-7 goals ahead of everybody else. He's almost a goal per game. We're talking about 50-50. He slows down a little tiny bit because Boston kind of hit that little slump. He's still scoring, not quite at the same rate. And Matthews and Ovechkin just put their foot on the gas and are absolutely making it interesting. And the Rocket is not decided. You know, we did it a couple weeks ago on our holiday award show, and everybody just picked Pastrnak. That pick looks way less sure, you know, just a couple short weeks later.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting race. The guy I think will still ultimately be the goal scoring leader for the year, I still think will be Pastrnak.
Okay. Yeah, because he's got the ability to just find another gear and score four in a game.
Yeah, and I don't know if I just paid more attention to him this past game or if he just had one of those games where he was more present in this way than he has in past games. But physically, he's much better physically than I gave him credit for. You can't get him off the puck.
No, he's got really, a little really bit of that hard. Voracek haze.
And he's got better anticipation. There were at least four times in that game where the puck was, you know, him and a defenseman were going for the puck, or him and a forward were going for the puck on the wall. And there's just this subtle, and it's not interference, it's just he makes this subtle move to anticipate, to get in between him and the player for the puck to where he's going to win possession. He did it over and over, and it's just very impressive.
Yeah, no, he's good at hockey, and I don't think he's a really much good of a spoiler there.
No, but I thought his game was more predicated on his hands and his speed. But
he's he's rounding himself out. He's starting to fill out defensively. I think he's gotten a little bit bigger, and he's really starting to punish people.
Size matters.
Well, let's
look at think you hit it right on the head. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's really started to develop a little bit of a two-way game. And it turns out when you play with Marchand and Bergeron, it's pretty easy to put up points offensively. I'm not taking anything away from him.
Still probably the best line in hockey.
But quality of line mates has to have something to do with it here, right?
Well, if I thought he were the third guy quality-wise, I'd say yes. But
it's
this
so...
is,
but it's that line is so tough to judge. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Because you really have three generations. Bergeron is 5 years older than Marchand. Marchand is 5 years older than Pastrnak. And they all separate out really nicely so that at any given time, one of them is on fire.
Right.
One of them is in a good spot.
I'm just saying overall game, skill, all of it together. I still think right now at this point, the best player of the three is Pastrnak. He's benefiting, of course, from playing who he's playing with. But what I mean is, this isn't Jari Kurri, Wayne Gretzky, and the other guy that no one ever knows who scores 50 every year.
Right.
He's not that guy. He's possibly the best of the three. Is he benefiting from playing with those two? 100%. Anybody would. But I think he takes those two, when you add him to those two, now they are...
They all complement each other insanely.
They're probably the best line in hockey.
Yeah, they're definitely up there. They might be just the actual number one. I would actually be willing to say that Marchand is probably the best of the three. But that argument took a little bit of a hit. Because if you watched Monday's game, that game went to a shootout.
You forgot about that, huh? I forgot about that. Yes. Oh, God, it couldn't happen to a better guy.
So that game went to a shootout. Flyers were up 5-2, or Flyers were down 5-2, I'm sorry. Ended up tying that game. They went to a shootout. They go into extras of the shootout. Travis Konecny scores.
Shout out to Sanheim with a fantastic goal. Sticking with it to tie that game. He's really, really playing well. Go ahead.
He played a phenomenal game. I believe he had two goals in that
game. Two goals. Yep.
A lot of Flyers had multi-goal games this week. But so they go to the shootout. Travis Konecny comes and scores on a really nice, you know, he kind of just banked it off the post and it went in.
Well, they hit two posts.
Okay, right.
Before that, then he hits the post and it goes in.
Right.
So,
I was just talking about. I was just summarizing the end here.
So Marchand is in the have to score or lose the game.
Right. Marchand is in the bottom. Marchand is two outs in the bottom of the ninth. You know, clutch situation. He's got to score to continue the shootout. If he doesn't score, if Carter Hart makes a save, then the Flyers get out of here with 2 points. So Marchand approaches the puck and promptly skates right over top of it, touching it just ever, ever, ever so slightly with the heel of his stick and moving it forward, beginning the shootout attempt.
Correct. And it goes forward what? 2.5 inches?
Less than six, for
yes.
sure.
Oh, 100% less than six, yes.
It was about the length of the puck. That's about how forward it slid.
I don't think it's possible to skate, touch the puck, and move it less.
I don't think it's – no. I would be willing to agree with that. And like you said, it definitely couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Did you see his face as soon as it happened?
I saw his face as soon as it happened.
And he tried to play it off like I didn't touch it, which of course you have to try to do.
Of course you have
but
to try to sell
but his whole body that. Language was like, oh, crap.
He knew it immediately, right? Yeah. And it was great. I don't know if I've ever laughed harder in my life.
Oh, it was awesome.
Because that's the best way to win the game. Did you see his tweet the next day?
I did not.
Okay, so... completely unrelated. He definitely wasn't worried about this game at all, guys. He just happened to post a picture the next day of him kissing the cub.
Yeah, so he didn't feel bad at all.
He definitely wasn't worried at all. He definitely wasn't feeling the heat.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't giving the finger to everybody saying, ha, but I still have a cup.
All right, that's exactly what it was.
Absolutely.
And he got caught giving a little verbal back and forth with a fan on Twitter. And it was fun and entertaining, you know. He called a fan a peasant, so that was a fun one. I'll send you the tweet.
He's always
going to
be an interesting guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, he definitely steered into it and had fun. And then he had another gaffe, I believe Wednesday night.
This one I'm not aware of.
Right, where he had kind of a wide open shot at the net, and he kind of went to handle it and just lost the puck into the corner. So after the game, he tweeted something about... attention, missing hands. If someone finds them, please return them to TD Garden. Thanks. So he definitely had a little fun with it, but Brad Marchand didn't have the best week. He'll get a chance at the All-Star game. You know, that is next week. The Flyers have one game between now and then, and it's that Pittsburgh game. Well, let's yep. talk about this. You got the Pittsburgh Penguins coming in. You're going to play them right before your bye week.
That's home.
That is in Philadelphia. Yeah.
I'm very glad that that's not a big, huge deal either way, but I prefer the going into the break game to be at home and the coming out of the break game to be on the road.
Okay.
I think that's a good thing for them because obviously as well as they've played at home, so hopefully you can play really well as you have, bag that win, and then coming out of the break, you're kind of playing with house money.
Yeah, because it doesn't really get much easier coming out of the break. You know, we've talked recently about the Flyer schedule being tough.
It has to get easier.
Well, your first two games out of the break are in Pittsburgh, and then you come home and play Colorado. Now, after that, you get Detroit.
It better get easier after Colorado.
After that, you get Detroit and the Devils.
Do you realize what they've done if you go from, was it Washington was the first game?
Yeah.
Tampa, through
Carolina.
through.
You even forgot Carolina.
Oh, Carolina.
Carolina, Washington.
Carolina to Colorado is insane.
Carolina, Washington, Tampa, Boston, St. Louis, all tough games. Montreal and L.A., a little light. And then you come right back with Pittsburgh, Colorado. It's a brutal stretch.
Wow.
But the Flyers have beaten all the good teams.
Yeah. Yeah, except Tampa. They lost the Tampa game.
Well, sure, but even that game...
Yeah, that they played really well.
You talk about the fact that they got Carey Priced. Last Saturday, they got Vasilevskied.
Absolutely.
It kind of happens.
Again, if you go Carolina to Colorado, whatever, I don't know how many games that is, if it's 12, whatever, you go 7-4-1 or something like that, or 6-5-1, whatever it is, that's a really, really good stretch.
Yeah.
Anything over 500 during that stretch, regardless of which games you won and lost and whatnot, still a great stretch.
Yeah, next week I think it's going to be a little bit of a weird show because it's All-Star weekend, so we'll talk about the All-Star game. But one of the things I want to do on next week's show is kind of an in-depth breakdown of the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
February does get easier. Just a little spoiler alert. February is not a terribly difficult month for the Flyers.
That's where you got to back some points. Just going back to that schedule that we just talked about, I want to give a quick shout out to Kevin.
Okay.
That Kings game last night, 100% must win. If you went win, play the Canadians well but lose, and then lose that Kings game, that is a really, really,
really
horrible
takes,
loss. Yeah,
it takes the storm out of
everything. Exactly.
Yeah. Now you're rolling. You're rolling into Pittsburgh, and you've won 4 of your last 6.
Yep, so kudos to Kevin. He was right on the money. That was definitely a must-win.
Yeah, you've won 4 out of your last 6. You've gotten points in 5 out of your last 7. you're rolling in. If you beat Pittsburgh, you go into the All-Star break.
Yep.
Flying.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm very confident that they're going to play very, very well.
Yeah, I think it's a good game with Pittsburgh.
And if Elliott plays well, and how they've played at home, I'm fully confident that they'll win that game.
You know what? We talked about Carter Hart being hurt. Brian Elliott. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the other thing that happened Thursday night is you had Alex Lyon in net. So, you know,
he wasn't awful. He just didn't make those two or three saves that Price did to keep you in a 2-1 game where maybe you could get it to overtime.
Right. Alex Lyon definitely wasn't terrible, but at the same time, like, he's proven before that he can win at the NHL level in a short period of time.
Right. It's hard to give up 4 goals in a game and say you played well.
Yeah.
Good. But he didn't play poorly.
No, but two of them were a little bit on the weak side. You would have liked to see saves. I'm not blaming it completely on him.
The killer goal really was the first goal.
Yeah.
And he maybe overplayed it a little bit, but how much time the guy had, you certainly don't say it was a fault of the goalie. It was a turnover.
Yeah.
It was 11 seconds after they took the lead. They make the turnover at the blue line. No coverage on the winger coming in. He has all kinds of time. He makes a slight move right, pulls back left, and has half the net to shoot at. I'm not going to say it was a bad goal on Lyon's part, but just a horrible turnover, and that really turned the whole game.
No, I agree, but I'm sorry. We were talking about the goaltending situation. Brian Elliott has looked really good this week.
Yep.
But at the same time, I really wish Carter Hart was starting on Tuesday. I like Brian Elliott. Brian Elliott's really solid. But I've already gotten to the point where I want Carter Hart in my net for the big games against the Pittsburghs, against the Washingtons, against the Bostons. I want him in the net for the clutch games because he's proven that he comes up big.
As much as I would love to see him in there, especially since it's at home.
Well, no, he's not going to be.
Right. As much as I would love to see it, there's been nothing in Elliott's season, in his recent performance, to suggest that he won't do anything other than play well. So I definitely think he will.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and obviously I hope he does, but there's just something
factor going in, I think is what you're saying.
Exactly. There's something about Carter
factor
Hart
going in, yeah. I expect him to play well, but there's more of a question mark to it where Hart could go in and not play well too. Anything can happen. That's why you play the game. But
night in, night out, I'm
much
more confident.
Expecting Hart at home against the Penguins in that big spot to be really, really good.
Exactly.
Elliott can't be.
I already fully trust Carter Hart with the puck in critical situations.
When
we come down the stretch.
At home.
Yes. sure. And he'll figure out the road game. I'm not worried about that. We talked about...
I fully say that this whole road thing could be one of those anomaly things that happen in a season every once in a while.
Right.
It doesn't have to be. It could be something that really has to be fixed and figured out. It could be one or the other. We'll see.
Well, we talked a little earlier about how Carter Hart's problems don't appear to be physical. They do appear to be physical. I'm sorry. Like, his mental game is strong.
If he plays bad on the road, the one thing I know it isn't is him skating onto the ice going, oh, crap, there's no Flyer fans here. Oh, what am I going to do?
Right.
And he's shaking in his boots. It's not that.
I really think it's something as simple as a little tiny thing. And once that switch gets flipped, once an assistant says the right thing to him, once like one little switch is just waiting to get flipped. And as soon as that gets flipped, Carter Hart's the same goalie on the road that he is at home. And then our problems, I don't want to say our problems are gone, but our problems are different. Our problems move on from worrying about Carter Hart at all.
The juice that he plays with at home, and what I mean by the juice is, we've talked about this before, is just he's young.
He looks like he slept in his own bed.
And everybody wants to play well everywhere they play. But when you're in front of your own fans, sometimes there's a heightened intensity.
Yeah.
When the switch goes off to bring that same intensity to the road game, I'm sure everything will level out.
You know what? I honestly think, and I'm not a goalie coach, I think he plays a little tiny bit passive on the road. I think when he's at home, he's loose and moving all over the place, and he's confident enough to go post to post and make that save. Whereas on the road, he's a little tiny bit, I don't want to say nervous, but he's not quite as confident. He doesn't quite have that loose fluidity that someone has when they're completely comfortable.
I think we're kind of saying the same thing. You call it confidence. I'm calling it intensity.
No, I agree. I agree. It's the same thing. But once he figures out how to relax and take a deep breath on the road, I think we're fine.
Yeah. And look, and his road numbers and things, that's not all him.
No, for sure. The defense doesn't play great in front of him either.
The team hasn't played as well on the road.
And we heard Kevin mention it last week. They just don't play with the same structure they play with at home.
To some extent, it is him because Elliott has been very good on the road.
Right.
So to some extent, it is him. I'm just saying it's not all him.
Right. Now, so do we go into a playoff series expecting to start Carter Hart in the home games and Brian Elliott in the road games?
I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
I wouldn't. That's a great question. It's probably a question that's a few, maybe a month or a month and a half too soon, but it's a great freaking question. Great question.
You heard it there first.
They're going to open up on the road, most likely. Unless you get to that 2-3 spot. Well, even if you're at that...
If you're at the 3 spot, you still open on the road.
Yeah, you still open on the road, right.
You have to get all the way up to the Penguins in that 2 spot.
Yeah, there's no way they're getting to a 2 spot. So
I'm not going to say there's no way, but at this point, I wouldn't count on it.
Very unlikely. So
let's do that.
I will say this, okay? You open up on the road, and you lose 4-2. He gives up 4 goals in 24 shots.
Okay.
There is
a medium night.
There is absolutely a legitimate possibility that Elliott gets the start in game 2 and Hart gets the start in game 3.
Yeah,
that's
I
a
don't
legitimate
love that.
Possibility. Well, what you have to do at
if, I know.
This was a great question.
What
you have to do at that point is you have to measure 2020 versus 2023.
Yep.
That's what you have to do.
Well, and I think a lot of that, the decision that gets made on that, I think a lot of it has to do with, obviously, the second half of the season here.
Yeah, exactly. How you're playing, who you're playing, your reasonableness to win the series, all of it.
Right. If Carter Hart goes 14-2 the rest of the season on the road with a 184 goals against, then this isn't a question.
Yeah,
then this isn't a question. He's just your guy.
Exactly. Assuming the rest of the year goes with the road, you know, Elliott seemed to be playing more of the road games, Carter being great at home. Assuming that goes over 82 games the way it's been.
How bad does Carter Hart need to be on the road?
In game 1.
No. To give Brian Elliott game 1. Like the rest of the season, how bad
awful.
Does he have
he
to,
has
be?
To be? Awful.
Okay.
Awful.
Because
yeah,
I'm concerned about putting him in for game 1, letting him get relatively shelled, not destroyed, but beat up.
Well, the game I gave you, 24 shots, 4
exactly.
goals. It's not certainly not a great game.
No, I'm concerned about him having that kind of game. Then getting benched.
I'm not concerned about
then it. Then having to come back.
Again, for his mentality, I don't worry one bit.
I really don't.
Because he's got that makeup. It's not going to... Again, if he's going to become our Marty Brodeur or our next Bernie Parent, that's not going to matter.
I know. But
it is a consideration. Like I said, 2020 versus 2023.
I love Carter Hart as much as anybody else. And that's kind of why I'm along this route. Because... Okay, I trust Carter Hart in that situation where he gets benched and comes back and plays well and, you know, all that stuff. I trust him specifically.
Like I said, I would go back to him in game 3 at home if that scenario were to play out. Absolutely.
The thing that worries me, though, is that I'm a Flyers fan, and I've seen this before. And it just scares me that if you pull him in game 2, or God forbid he gives up, say he gives up 3 goals in the first period of that game 1 and you yank him to try to save game 1 and then he sits game 2. I trust Carter Hart to bounce back. I don't trust Flyers goaltending to bounce back, if that makes sense. Because I have
too much history
watching Flyers goaltenders absolutely fall apart in the playoffs. I hope that he can overcome it. I trust that he can overcome it.
Yeah,
I don't know if he can overcome all this history.
I think he will. I think he could.
Well, listen, I hope that's the case because I'll tell you right now, if that happens, if Carter Hart plays game 1 and they lose because he plays poorly, and then he sits game 2, and then he comes back game 3 and is stellar, my Eastern Conference Championship prediction is a little light. At that
point, I understand.
At that point, it's a little light.
I think it's light right now, but...
You think so? You think they're going further than that?
No, no.
No.
I'm sorry.
I think it's light.
I misunderstood what you meant. No. If that happens, look, in the NHL playoffs, the one thing you see every year, you know, so when the snowball gets rolling downhill,
yep,
it can really pick up steam.
Trivia question. Who was the Washington Capitals starter when they started their cup run?
Holpe did not start games one and two.
Correct.
Of the first series. And I know. Was it Grubauer?
Grubauer won that job down the stretch and then looked poor, so they went back to Holpe, and Holpe put the team on his back. Like, Ovi was great in that run, and Ovi won the Conn Smythe, you know, as a Lifetime Achievement Award. Braden Holpe should have won that Conn Smythe. I'm not going to say he stole that cup, but he definitely...
He was very good.
Definitely did his part.
Yeah, I mean... He wasn't some other goalies. Like, he didn't Jonathan Quick the cup.
No, definitely not.
That didn't happen, but he was good. But he was very good.
He didn't J.S. Giguere where he wins the Conn Smythe on the losing end of things.
Right.
But, no, he was very good, and I could see something similar to that happening. Really, honestly, the way the Flyers are going, either goalie could do it. I could see Brian Elliott doing it. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to happen, but
right.
if we talk about this playoff series, you're starting on the road. If Carter Hart has a poor game one, Brian Elliott comes in and looks good and then looks great in game two, I could see Alain Vigneault staying with Brian Elliott.
He's going to do, for the most part, he's going to do what's best for the 2020 yep. Flyers, not the 2023 Flyers. But
the thing I love about Moose, I'm sorry to cut you off, I'll let you finish in a second. The thing I love about Moose, I could see him looking at the playoffs as it for him. Maybe not literally it, but I could see him getting a little bit of a crack because Carter doesn't look great and kicking the door down and playing phenomenal, phenomenal hockey for 8 weeks or however long the playoffs last. I think Brian Elliott's capable of that.
He's been, at times in his career, he's had very long stretches where he's been fantastic.
Yep.
He's had the opposite as well. Having nothing to do with this season. This season, he's been fantastic.
He's been great, yeah. And he's not expected to be the guy. I think that's the thing for him. He doesn't have to start 50 games.
Well, he certainly embraced his role as, you know, Carter Hart's sidekick.
And mentor.
As opposed to Bow. I won't call him his backup because I think really at this point he is more of his sidekick.
It's a tandem. Yeah, it's 1A, 1B.
Do you remember maybe 15 games ago, 12 games ago, he made a save sprawling and like he was literally, his belly was on the ice. And after, I think what actually ended up happening is the puck hits him in the helmet.
Yeah.
And that's why he kind of goes down. But it was simultaneous to him doing like the splits. I thought he tore something on that play, and that's why he put his head down. And I was like, oh God, not now. He's playing so good.
Yep.
And luckily, it was the head thing, and he shook it off, and it was just getting hit in the head with the puck that kind of rocked his belt. I was like, oh, thank God. Because I really thought he tore something, and I'm so glad he didn't.
Yeah. And that's just like I'm saying that I really wish Carter Hart was playing on Tuesday because he's clutch and he shows up well in good situations. I was a little disappointed Alex Lyon was starting Thursday because I really wanted to see Moose. And I did too. And Moose completely needs the rest. And I absolutely think that starting Lyon was the correct decision. I'm not arguing that. But
if
I'm just
you
saying,
feel...
I'm looking at Moose and going, yeah. He's a perfectly serviceable starter until Carter Hart gets back.
Absolutely.
Perfectly serviceable.
If you legitimately feel, like, obviously Hart's down, that's the reason why Lyon's on the team. So if you honestly feel that him playing the third game in four nights and the second in the back-to-back really gave him a little bit of exposure to injury,
right?
Then that was the right move. If you sincerely felt that.
I absolutely agree that it was the right move. And I wasn't watching the game going, man, I really wish Brian Elliott was playing. But before the game, I was looking at it and going, yeah, Brian Elliott can probably play that game.
Yeah, especially because they only have one more game after that.
Then the bye.
So, but again, if you really felt that he needed that time, that exposed again, three games of four nights exposed him to
making
that split and tearing that groin again.
Exactly.
Then let him rest, and we'll bring him back last night like we did.
Risking him to injury, especially when Carter Hart's out, is not worth 2 points against the Canadiens.
Right.
It's just not. But you know what? I really do like that question about who starts game one if the Flyers entered the playoffs today, assuming Carter Hart was healthy. And if that's the case, I'm curious what you think. Let us know on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can also let Mike know at Mike from S Jersey, or producer Mike know at Mike _ Giletto. Tweet us. Let us know who you think starts game one if they start today. If Carter Hart starts and looks poor, how quickly do you go to Brian Elliott? Let us know. You can also find the show on that Twitter and also everywhere else. Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Sports Talk Philly, Spotify. Let us know everywhere. Listen, share, tell your friends, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm really curious to hear what our listeners think about this, because I agree, it is a good question. And
it was a great question.
It's the kind of thing that we have to start thinking about. You know, the Flyers aren't locked into a playoff position, but it's starting to look pretty good. You know, we're in the second wild card right now. You know, only 2 points behind the Islanders for third in the division. Definitely in the thick of things.
Yeah, they've gotten us out of the sky is falling 1-4-1 road trip. So that's a positive, obviously.
Beating three really good teams will do that, yeah.
Yep.
But you know what? Next week we got the All-Star Show. We're going to talk about Travis Konecny a little bit. We're going to do a little bit of a preview of the upcoming season.
Yep, should be fun.
This Tuesday we have our Penguins game. It's the first one in Philadelphia, I believe. I think it's the second of the year, first in Philadelphia.
Well, I remember the 6-3 game, but I don't remember where that was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that game was bad. So this is the first time in Philly, and we'll see what they got going on. Was there anything else you wanted to get into today?
Yes, whoever's going to that game, please bring all the appropriate hostility. Thank you.
Oh, they will. I'm sure they will. Ticket prices are back up on StubHub. I don't know if you've been looking, but it's hard to go to a game for $12 anymore. They're starting to pick back up.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else you wanted to get off your chest before we get out of here today?
No, I think we covered it all. And it was a great week, and look forward to watching that Pittsburgh game. I'm really excited about it.
Well, on that note, we're going to let you go, and we'll be back next week with some All-Star coverage, and we'll see you later.